The Gulf of Mexico oil spill puts BP in the red for the first time in 20 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. British oil giant BP said this morning it lost $5 billion last year. Not a huge shock given the $40 billion the company had to set aside to deal with the spill in the Gulf. But there is some surprising news coming from BP this morning, and Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us now live from London to tell us what it is. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So, Stephen, obviously no surprise by BP losing money last year. What's interesting here?
Well, first of all, these figures could have been much worse given the scale of the disaster. The company is actually paying out a dividend now to shareholders for the first time since the spill. What's also interesting, BP is selling two of its U.S. Oil refineries, including Texas City, where there was another major disaster 5 years ago. The sale is aimed at raising cash to pay some of the Gulf costs, but David Battersby, an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley, says it also marks a shift in BP's strategy.
I think it's a move away from the United States, where they were pilloried so badly, moving away from refining and more into exploration and development, in particular with the Russians.
BP recently struck a $10 billion deal to drill for oil in the Russian Arctic.
And, Stephen, we've been hearing about oil prices going up in part because of the situation in Egypt. That can't be bad news for BP either, I assume.
Right, and for all major oil companies. It's the fear that the unrest might lead to the closure of the Suez Canal, which would cut off about 2 or 3% of global oil supply, and the bigger fear that the unrest might spread into other much bigger oil-producing countries, perhaps even the big one, Saudi Arabia. This seems likely to keep the oil price at least fairly high for the immediate future.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, higher oil prices aren't the only economic consequence of the unrest going on in Egypt. Wheat prices are going up, and that's already having ripple effects across the world. Marketplace's Scott Tong tells us why.
Egypt is the world's leading importer of wheat. The World Bank says 30 million Egyptians are impoverished, and most spend half their income on food. Rising prices have sparked deadly protests in North Africa before. And mindful of Egypt's meltdown now, neighboring countries are putting in big grain orders to feed their people. Dan Bossi is president of Ag Resource Company in Chicago.
The Algerians are bringing in lots of wheat, trying to forestall a situation like that. While in Tunisia, we had a president that was ousted over rising food prices to the same degree. So, yes, in those countries where there's a very impoverished population, rising food prices does have a play.
Among other grain buyers, Jordan, Libya, Turkey, Qatar, Morocco, and Lebanon. In fact, Goldman Sachs now warns global hoarding of rice and wheat will intensify. In fact, some analysts figure that stockpiling, combined with tight global supply, could jack up prices even more. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia. As Stephen Beard told us, the situation in Egypt is sending oil prices higher. The price of Brent crude, which gives us an indication of the cost of oil in Europe and Asia, has risen above $100 a barrel. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 68 points to close at 11,891.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
So a guy walks into a bar. What, you think you've heard this one before? Well, trust me, you have never heard this version. In Atlanta, bar and restaurant owners are in the middle of a battle over their used cooking grease. Reporter Jim Burris has the story from WABE.
The second best thing about a bar, bar food. Standing in front of a bubbling deep fryer in the kitchen of Atlanta's Buckhead Bottle Bar, owner Ian Winslade says here it's the big boy burger and fries that are most popular.
We blanch the fries first at a lower temperature and then finish them back at a higher temperature.
Not on the menu, but lately just as popular is what's out the back door.
So basically what happens?
Winslade peers into a mini dumpster full of brown goo.
And so that's it. I mean, this is what the whole war's over.
Spent cooking oil. Used to be restaurants had to pay companies to haul away their used cooking oil. In recent years, selling that yellow grease has become a $500 million-a-year industry. So companies are now paying restaurants for the stuff. And that's pitting grease collector against grease collector. Over the past few months, a company called Greenlight Biofuels has wooed away some 50 local restaurants from one of the biggest players in the grease business, Griffin Industries. And Griffin is fighting back with a lawsuit. The company's attorney is Catherine Hernacki.
Interference with contract, conversion, trespass, and in the criminal arena, basic theft statutes. Theft is theft.
But Greenlight's attorney, Jim Neal, says the litigation is just sour grapes over losing customers.
It's very easy to make allegations in court. It's very difficult to prove those.
The whole Griffin Greenlight clash doesn't surprise Tom Cook, who heads the National Renderers Association, a trade group for grease processors. He says you have to keep in mind cooking oil is oil.
Some people are discovering that there is a value to this that they didn't realize was there before, and that's probably why there's as much competition for it.
And if you want in on the action, it's actually a traded commodity. Just ask for yellow grease. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally, just in time for the big man versus machine Jeopardy challenge between reigning champion Ken Jennings and a computer in 2 weeks, one software developer is putting search engines to the Jeopardy test. Stephen Wolfram fed a random sampling of Jeopardy clues into Google and Bing, among other search sites. He wanted to see how many times each site put the correct answer in the first page of results. Well, here's the answer. Google came in first with 69%, Bing 63%. One man gets it right 79% of the time. Who is Ken Jennings? In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
How much soy does it take to build the inside of a car?
So Ford is currently saving about 3 million pounds of petroleum each and every year by using soy instead of petroleum.
I'm Bob Moon. Cup holders and car seats get a green makeover next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.